As you can see, the title of my message is what? The judgment, the righteous, and the wicked. Hey. I'm gonna go. Let me say this. My God. Each time has its own what? Present truth. But there are some truth that are for all time. Some truth may not be important for a certain time, but the speaker may still use it to illustrate a point. Like the birth of Jesus was predicted to happen in the Old Testament. But I can tell you that this is not the present truth for our time, except for some rare occasions. As the time passes and the fulfillment of the prophecy was nigh, priests should spend time talking about it so that when the new king is born, none would be ignorant of it. But because it was not preached and studied any longer, Jesus was born. Just a few were aware of it. The men from an eastern country and some shepherds. Where were those who should proclaim that great truth? They were all silent at that time because the truth was not important to them. Likewise, it may happen that many important and crucial events that have been prophesied may be fulfilled and fulfilling today, but church members are not aware of them and are careless and indifferent. The latter rain may fall and may will not, and many will not have it because it is not preached, neither desired. Sunday law may be enforced and catch many by surprise. Why? Because many refuse to preach about it or to preach it, and many others to hear about it. Some argue it is too scary. Is it scary talking about Sunday law? But for some people, it is scary because a lot of things will happen through Sunday law. You cannot buy, you cannot sell. What are you talking about, Brother Pierre? Well, it will happen. Some argue it is too scary. Others may say that law will never be enforced in a free country like America. As you can see, from the last several years, the freedom that we have enjoyed so far is a little bit eroded. Am I right? There are certain subjects that you cannot preach about. There was a preacher, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor in Atlanta, who was preaching about a certain subject that have been silenced, that actually he got a note from the Attorney General of Georgia asking him to bring to him the message that he was preaching, quote-unquote, against LGBT. He was silenced because of that, and said, anytime that you need to talk about these things, bring before us. Take it to us. We need to see it first, because you're not entitled to preach about these things. So the liberty that we were enjoying so far since 1776, 74, it's being eroded. Well, all of these will be deceived. Those who said that, okay, America is a free country, Sunday law will not be enforced in this country. They will be deceived. Unfortunately, I cannot do what I'm trying to do. I can tell you that investigative judgment and the shaking are some strong truths for our time. We have many, many more elements that can be safely called present truth. In Peter's time, say in Peter's time, there was present truth or truth applicable to that present time. The church have ever had a present truth. The present truth now is that which shows present what? Duty. And the right position for us who are about to witness the time of what? Trouble. Such as never was. Present truth should be oft repeated. How often? Often. How many times I should say? And I want to ask the young people to stay, to focus on what I'm saying, because this message is also for you young people. Please. Believe me. This message I'm preaching today is not just for people like me, grown people, but it is for young people sitting on the benches. Present truth should be oft repeated even to those who are what? Established in what? I need you to interact with me. Present truth should be oft repeated even to those who are what? Established where? In it. This was needful in the apostles' day, and it certainly is no less important for us who are living just before the close of time. We are living when? Just before what? The close of time. Jesus himself states, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made what? Ruler of what? His household. To give them meat in what? Due season. Now, ruler is what? According to that text. The ruler is not those who are in charge of the political arena. Ruler here. Let me read it over. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over what? Ruler is those who preach the gospel, those who are in charge of the church. The church is the household. God has put the leaders of the church, or even the fathers of the house, to do what? To give them meat, not flesh. Meat in what? Due season. You don't want to put any outfit that is for winter. You put it in what? In summer? If you put some outfit for a summer, winter's outfit, you put them on in winter, what happened? If you put winter's outfit, you put it on in summer, what will happen? Too warm. And people would say, there's something going on. Likewise, you don't want to put on any summer outfit in winter. What can happen if you do that? You're going to be cold. You can even catch what? A pneumonia, and you die. So you don't want to do that. And you need to, as a ruler of the church, as a preacher like me, you need to preach the gospel that relates to the time, the present time, due season, disasters, bypasses of judgment. In this text, Jesus pronounces a blessing upon them who don't wait too late before feeding the sheep of food good for the season. Our time is well appropriate for the preaching of messages concerning what is taking place around us and what will soon take place on the earth. Like these wildfires that destroyed many lives, businesses, and luxurious houses in California should be the subject of our meditation. We should not hide the implication of these prophesied events and others like floods, earthquakes, landslides, tornadoes, and droughts. These are not normal. We need to think about it. Why these things are taking place in our time? Why? The psalmist declared the following. My brother has read it, and somebody else read it before him. It says, blessed is whom? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly, those who are without God. Those who do not recognize God as God. Those who say that God does not exist. Or those who believe that God exists, but, okay. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The first thing that we need to see, the law of the Lord is part of the judgment. Believe me. And if you are just, that means in certain way, you keep the law. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What next? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We will go through it. Unfortunately, I cannot see the footnote because I have a lot in the footnote. We will go through it. Here in this text, the psalmist is not talking about the everyday judgment, but of the one that began in October 1844. October 22nd, 1844, when Jesus left the holy place to go to what? Jesus left the holy place to go where? To the most holy place when? When it happened. Okay, you know, that's one of the reasons. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, if I will be allowed to do that. I need to talk to the young people to study with them together. Will Dad and Mom bring them to the church to study together? They need to know these things. All right. However, I want to point out some of the judgment bypasses. Pain of inspiration informs the perversity and cruelty of men will reach what? Such a height that God will reveal himself in his majesty. Very soon, the wickedness of the world will have reached what? Its limit. And as in the day of Noah, God will pour out his judgments. Fires will break out unexpectedly, and no human efforts will be able to quench them. What does this remind you? California, over and over, over and over. It has been predicted, folks. It has been predicted. Fires will break out how? Unexpectedly, and no human effort. After almost 3 weeks, finally, they got over it. They quenched it. And no human effort will be able to quench them. The palaces, hey, do you understand that? Of earth will be swept away in the fury of the flames. Disasters by rail will become more and more frequent. Confusion, collusion, and death without a moment's warning will occur on the great lines of travel. The end is near. Probation is closing. Oh, let us seek God while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Today is the time to call upon the Lord. Today is the time to pray. Now, the same writer continues, in fires, in floods, in earthquakes, in the fury of the great deep, in calamities by sea and by land, the warning is given that God's Spirit will not always strive with men. I want you to go, please, if somebody can go quickly, to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, I believe. Genesis 6, verse 3, you will see the same thing that God has said to the ones living before the flood, antediluvians. He said, my spirit will not strive always with men. Fires, floods, earthquakes, in the fury of the great deep, in calamities, by sea and by land, the warning is given. What's the warning? God's Spirit will not always strive with men. You know, once the Holy Spirit is leaving you, you're lost forever. I have been shown that the Spirit of the Lord is being withdrawn from the earth. God's keeping power will soon be refused to all who continue to disregard his commandments. The reports of fraudulent transactions, murders, and crimes of every kind are coming to us daily. Don't you see that? People are killing people all over. Georgia, New York, California, Chicago, and wherever you go, people are killing people. Where the Spirit of God is being withdrawn from them. According to CNN, since it began November 8th, talking about the fire, what happens? The fire has destroyed how many houses, homes? 14,000. I believe more than those here in Elmira. 14,000. 514 businesses have been destroyed. 4,265 other buildings. It has covered more than 153,000 acres, roughly the size of Chicago, has been destroyed right here in Paradise, California. And 85 people have been killed. What mean the accident by land? Fire consuming the riches that men have hoarded, much of which has been accumulated by oppression of the poor. The Lord will not interfere to protect the property of those who transgress his law, break his covenant, and trample upon his Sabbath, accepting in its place what? A spurious rest day. So, why didn't God protect those houses in California? Why? Can somebody tell me? Why God didn't protect them? The palaces, even our church, our institution has been stricken down. Why? The Lord will not interfere to protect the property of those who transgress his law, break his covenant, and trample upon his Sabbath, excepting in its place a spurious rest of the day, which is Sunday. How frequently we hear about earthquake and tornadoes, of destruction of fire and flood, with great loss of life and property. Apparently, these calamities are capricious outbreaks of disorganized, unregulated force of nature, wholly beyond the control of man, but in them all God's purpose may be read. They are among the agencies by which he seeks to arouse men and women to a sense of their danger. Why? Why those calamities? Why those earthquakes? Floods, tornadoes, fires. Why? God is trying to do what? Arouse men and women to a sense of their danger. But nobody will say anything about that, because if you do, you're judgmental. We need to say that. We need to preach the gospel, a straight message, a direct message, a concise message, so that they can understand, hear, and get their lives together. If we don't, their blood will be on our hands. Now that we have spoken a little about part of the judgments by passes, let's go back to Psalms 1, where the psalmist prophesied about the judgment, the sifting or the shaking. The psalmist pretty much is contrasting in this piece the righteous and the ungodly by opposition. The righteous, which is the blessed one, finds his delight in the law of God and meditates on it. That's verses 1 and 2. The righteous doesn't put aside the law of God to accomplish his own pleasure. Let me read over. The righteous doesn't put aside the law of God to accomplish his own pleasure. On the contrary, he is pleased in it. You want to do something like there's a football going on Saturday, and you say, okay, I'm going to go home. After divine service, I'm going to go quickly home because there's a football going on. And you turn on your TV to watch on Saturday. Okay, forget about Saturday. Huh? It's not all about that. Oh, you brothers or sister, you are too strict, too fanatic. They will label you. Why are you watching TV on Saturday? The righteous, which is the blessed, the righteous does not put aside the law of God to accomplish his own pleasure. On the contrary, he is pleased in it. The law of God is not a stumbling block before him. This law is a stumbling block. I don't know. I need to put it aside. It's too much for me. I cannot handle it. Don't forget that these reasoning come from the devil. The law of God is not a stumbling block before him. He does not despise it. Moreover, he is such a lover of that law that he meditates upon it day and night, and he bringeth forth fruit, his fruit, in due season, and his season. Notice that the righteous is not just a commandment-keeping person, but he also shares his fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit manifested in him by the kind of work he does with other people in the time that they need it the most. When you see we are in danger on a spiritual level, we need to... When you see people, even in the church, go into certain crisis, that's the time for you to preach the message that is appropriate to him or to them. By contrast, the wicked, which is the ungodly, has many problems. The ungodly is shaken out or sifted out. That's what David informs when he says, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, brothers and sisters, you and I have to be very careful when it comes to this terrible part of the judgment, which is the shaking. Do you know what shaking is? Okay, sister, can you say, anybody, can you say what shaking is? No, not in the church yet. You shake it, whatever is bad, you take it out. Whatever is good, it stays in the instrument. I don't remember the name of it. Maybe Crib, I don't remember the name of it. Now, yeah, shaken or sifting. Now, it says, therefore the ungodly shall not... Those that are not sealed will be just sifted out. You understand? Sifted out. Taken out of the church. Sifted out. Shaken out of the church. Hey. God will no longer tolerate them in the midst of his people. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And you know what God uses for the judgment? What is it? The law. God uses the law to make judgments. All right? No sinners in the congregation of the righteous. God will not mix them up. Right now, we can be mixed up. We can be mixed up. But when the deep part of the shaking will take place, God will not mix them up. God will have to sift some people out or shake some people out. Do you understand that? Okay. In the church, we have the ungodly as well as the righteous. In the time of judgment that we are in now, in the time of shaking that seems to begin, the ungodly will be swept away like chaff, like dead leaves. You know chaff, eh? You know it better than me. Okay, we are in a period where leaves do not stay on the trees. Eh? We are in a period where leaves do not stay on the trees. Why? Bad time for them. You go around all over Elmira, Horsehead, Elmira Heights, Southside, wherever you go, you will see leaves on the ground. Why? They cannot stay on the trees. Why? Bad time for them. We are in a period where leaves do not stay on the trees, except for rare trees like evergreen. Every year, God gives us the example of the fall season, where leaves are just swept away by wind. Wind is symbolic. Wind symbolizes persecution, Sunday law, wars and rumors of wars. Sunday law will eventually be the main reason of persecution that will take fake Seventh-day Adventists out of the church. I believe that all of us are true Seventh-day Adventists. And if somebody is not yet Seventh-day Adventist, he will become or she will become Seventh-day Adventist. A good Seventh-day Adventist, I believe that. This wind will sift the ungodly. Someone. This wind will sift the ungodly, the wicked. I mean the chaff, the dross. You know what is dross in chemistry? Dross. When you have gold and you separate the gold, the gold that you just got from the ground, you separate it from what? From the dross. How? How to separate the precious metal from the dross? How? You put it in fire. You put it in fire, and fire will eliminate what? The dross. Is it a hard message? I know it's a hard message, but this is the kind of message that we need for our time. Believe me. This one will save the ungodly, the wicked. I mean the chaff, the dross, those that walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Someone. Those that standeth in the way of the sinners like them. Someone. Those that sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Someone. Brethren, we better not be among those people. Brothers and sisters, you and I have to be very careful. I'm sorry. I asked the meaning of the shaking I've seen and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodicean. Who is the true witness? Jesus is the true witness. Who are the Laodiceans? Seventh-day Adventist is. Seventh-day Adventist. So, let me read over. I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen where? In the church. And was shown that it would be caused by what? The sweet testimony. Called forth by what? By whom? by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodicean. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. What is straight truth? Let me give you an example. You will understand it easily, particularly Sister Ginger. Ginger told me, hey, when you preach, go slowly. Because you have a strong accent. Go slowly. She told me that how many times? Twice. I got it, but I cannot help myself. I'm sorry, Sister Ginger. But I put this for you so that you can see. She was straight. I've got a problem of accent because my accent is not your accent. Go slowly for me, please. Straight message. Was she polite? Yes, she was polite. Because if I cannot help myself, help yourself right here so that everybody can understand. Thank you. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this will cause what? A shaking among God's people. Notice that she does not say the shaken. She said a shaken. That means there are many ways to shake the church. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Who is a double-minded? Somebody who... Both sides. You better be right-handed or left-handed. In heaven, there were three categories of angels. One category who was faithful to God. Another one who was against God. Follow me, young people, please. Follow me, please. One was for God. Another one was against God. Another one was, I don't know. Let me see how it will play out. And whosoever wins, I will go with him. You know, we have that category of people in every church. We have that category of people even in nominating committee. You want to vote for somebody or for something? I vote. There's someone who said, I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to vote yes or no. And do you know what God has done with those who were not against him, who were not against the devil? They were neither for God, neither for the devil. God said, you cannot rely on somebody who is me. How do you call it? Pass me the word, please. Pass me the word. Someone who is... Yeah, but this is it, but I need another one. Flip-flop. Flip-flop. You cannot lean on somebody who is flip-flopping. Flip-flopping. You don't know where to go. Double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. This is the time to mourn. This is the time to turn your joy in. Joy in what? Heaviness. This is not the time to go to club, to spend your time in. I need to have a good time. What? Where you've been last night? I've been out. What time did you get in? At 1? Where have you been? I've got to get a good time. Some I saw did not participate in this work of organizing and pleading. They seem indifferent and careless. Church members should never be indifferent and what? Careless. They were not resisting the darkness around them, and it shut them in like a thick cloud. The angels of God left these, and I saw them hastening to the assistance of those who are struggling with all their energies to resist the evil angels and trying to help themselves, and I lost sight of them. If you're not praying to stop sinning, if you're not agonizing, the Holy Spirit, the angels will leave you. If you see sin in the church, you say nothing. If you see sin in the community and you say nothing, nothing bothers you, you're in trouble. The angels of God left these, and I saw them hastening to the assistance of those who were struggling with all their energies to resist the evil angels and trying to help themselves. Help yourself. Cry to God. Ask Him strength, endurance, courage to resist, but do not give up. Do not give up. As the praying ones continued their earnest cries, a ray of light from Jesus would at times come to them to encourage their hearts and light up their countenances. Believe me, you will see a lot of wrinkles in my face someday. Why? I'm fighting against sin. And Jesus fought so bad that he was unrecognizable. Look ye, my attention was then turned to the company I had seen, who were mightily shaken. Shaken doesn't mean you have to go out. Shaken means you are in trouble and you need to figure out what to do. I was shown those whom I had before seen, weeping and praying with agony of spirit. We need to pray, church members. And if I were to ask you, how many times do you pray a day? Did you pray today? Young people, no? Did you pray this morning before coming here? No. Have you prayed last night before going to bed? No. Did you take your Bible this week? No. What are you doing? Is it a time not to take your Bible to read a spirit of prophecy for those who are Seventh-day Adventists? Is it a time not to pray? Do you have prayer in your household every day? Sometimes? Really? That would be a joke. The company of guardian angels around them. Actually, I could use that. I'm so... I don't know. Let me use it now. The company of guardian angels around them had been doubled, and they were clothed with an armor from their head to their feet. They moved in exact order, firmly like a company of soldiers. Their countenances expressed the severe conflict which they had endured, the agonizing struggle they had passed through. Yet, their features marked with severe internal anguish, now shone with the light of and glory of heaven. They had obtained the victory, and it called forth from them the deepest gratitude and holy sacred joy. When you go through it, I don't know if you are in college, but sometimes when you pass your exam, how do you feel? When the preparation time has been bad, you spend some time to study. Sometimes you go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because you want to pass this test. And finally, you pass it. Mom, I've got an A. It should be the same thing for your spiritual walk with God. Do not underestimate your spiritual walk with God. It is way better than striving to get an A. I need to finish now. The number of this company had lessened. Some people started to fight, and in the middle of the road of the fight, they tired and they gave up. The number is diminished. Not everybody that you see in church will be saved. But I'm going to ask you some questions at the end of my message. Not everybody will be saved. Not because you're Seventh Adventist, that you, actually much of Seventh Day Adventist, the majority of Seventh Day Adventists will not be saved. Those who will be saved will come from Catholic Protestant churches when we preach what message? The loud cry. I know thy works, that thou neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, what is lukewarm? Between not cold, not hot. Not cold, not hot. If you lukewarm, you are some hermesis. They use you as hermesis. What is hermesis? The kind of medication they give you to vomit. Lukewarm. And neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Have you ever spewed? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Some church members are like that. They believe they need no counsel from anybody and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The careless and indifferent who did not join with those who prize victory and salvation enough to perseveringly plead and agonize for it, did not obtain it, and they were left behind in darkness. But their numbers were immediately made up by others taking hold of the truth and coming into the ranks. When one Seventh-day Adventist leaves, another one comes in. Another one who was not Seventh-day Adventist comes in. The rank will not diminished. Will not be diminishing. Or will not be diminished. If you have 20 million Seventh-day Adventists, believe me, when Sunday law is enacted, many church members, even some pastors, even some preachers like me, will leave the church. But immediately will be replaced by those who are not even Seventh-day Adventists yet. Amen. Amen. Okay, I may deceive you or may deceive, or you may deceive me. I may deceive you or you may deceive me. Churchgoers may deceive their pastors and the latter their parishioners. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters may deceive each other, but with God, dupery or craftiness or cunningness is impossible. For it is said that, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows everything about you, about me, everything. There are many who do not understand the prophecies relating to these days, and they must be enlightened. It is the duty of both watchmen and laymen to give this trumpet a certain sound. Let the watchmen now lift up their voice and give the message which is present truth for this time. Let us show the people where we are in prophetic history. The saints must get a thorough understanding of present truth, which they will be obliged to maintain from the scriptures. Satan is now using every device in this sealing time to keep the minds of God's people from the present truth and to cause them to waver. Apostle Peter shows his confidence in church members concerning present truth when he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in present truth." Brothers and sisters, this is the decision time. You read them, and I'm gonna read them for you, and you will respond according to what I put right here. I want to see the hand of those who truly believe that we live in the last days. Thank you. Second question. Let me see the hands of those who want to put aside all their sins. I'm talking to young people as well. Second question. Let me see the hands of those who want to put aside all their sins. Thank you. Are we sinners? Are we all sinners? Yes. All right. I want to see the hand of those who want to hear and preach the present truth messages. Amen. Let me the hand of those who do not want to be sifted out. Amen. Now, finally, those who want to be saved, stand up for a special prayer. Amen. We're going to pray. Let me pray for you. No, let me pray for us. Because I want to be saved. I don't want to be sifted out. If you want, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this spiritual food for today. This is a present truth message that you have entrusted me to deliver to your children here in this building. I pray that you would forgive our sins and give us the sense of the urgency that the time for the second coming of Jesus Christ is nigh, and that we need to prepare ourselves, help ourselves to get ready for that time. We know that we cannot do it on our own. You will help us. I pray that everybody would put aside every single sin in our lives. Forgive our sins. Give us your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit be our guide, our leader. Let your Holy Spirit do a work in our hearts so that we can be better off today than we've been yesterday. Bless your church, the leaders of your church. Give to the young people to understand that they need to do something in their lives to be ready for this time of sifting or shaking. They heard that not everybody will be saved, those who are saving the Adventist now. So give them to understand that they need to pray. They need to organize with you so that you can keep them, so that you can save them, not just them as the children, but the father, the mother. Bless one more time your church all over the world. Let it be united, and that the world might see that we are your true disciples. Bless the rest of the day for us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. So brothers and sisters, this is the end of the message. I pray that you would rehearse in your mind the message that has been preached today, so that effectively, when Jesus comes, everybody would be saved.